Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Buxton, how are you doing?
Well, thank you. And how are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a fantastic Friday. Looking forward to the Sabbath. It's a rainy one this side. I do hope that where you are also enjoying some lovely weather.
No, I am. Thank you. It's not raining. It's just cloudy. So perfect weather.
Oh, lovely. Which part of the world are you?
Johannesburg.
In Joburg. Oh, okay. Lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. Now, Pastor, you know, salvation gives us a future and a hope. And those who are listening may know that or may not. But if you are listening and you want to hear where it comes from, Jeremiah 29:11, God promises, I give you a new heart and a new spirit that is within you. Ezekiel 36:26. Now, Christ meets us where we are and delights in saving us from our lost condition. There is no path too dark. And if you're listening out there and you feel that you've walked too far, there's no path too dark for him to travel to save us. And there is no life too sinful. And I think the pastor will probably touch on this as he discusses. No life too sinful that his grace and forgiveness cannot remain. So wherever you're listening to in the world, whatever the situation that you are going through, please stick with us, because these are promises that God has given us. And I do hope that the pastor will touch on this before we let him go. Now, Pastor, is salvation a single event or a lengthy, unending process?
You know, many people view salvation as a single event. So, you know, they do the sinner's prayer and then they carry on with life as usual. But in effect, salvation is a process. It's a daily decision. Jesus speaking to us in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So it includes daily following, taking up our cross and following Jesus. So it is a process. In fact, the analogy of a plant growing. You know, we look at the parable of the sower, but then Jesus also used the life cycle of grain in the book of Mark, verse 4, 26 to 28. Where he says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who plants a seed in the ground. The farmer tries to make the best conditions of the seed, but he can't make it grow. And so Jesus is the one that makes it grow first, laying in the full end of the head. So you see, it's a process. You start with the germ, then it grows, and then it bears fruit. And that's how it is in the Christian life. Faith is like a mustard seed. You know, it starts off small, but then it grows, and at every stage, it still is perfectly saved, but it is maturing, and so we mature as Christians in the experience of salvation.
Now, how can we accept salvation? How is that possible? How do we do it?
So, in essence, Mark 16, verse 16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So we need to believe in Jesus. We need to believe in the plan of salvation. And then when we do that, we will be baptized. And I mean, baptism is more than just getting wet. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 tells us, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So as we accept salvation, we believe and we are baptized and we walk in a newness of life. And practically speaking, that means spending time with God every day. You must pay attention by prayer and studying of the Word of God. That is how we practically accept salvation, believing in God's Word, and then Jesus busy transforming our lives from day to day.
Now, once saved, can we be lost again? Or once I'm saved and I've gained salvation, that's it. I can run with it until Christ comes.
Yeah, that is a dangerous theory that once you are saved, you are saved forever. And no matter what you do, you cannot be unsaved. Mm-hmm. And thus people can throw salvation away. You know, we need to look at what the Bible says. Because we don't lose our freedom of choice once we are saved. Jude chapter 1, and there's only one chapter in Jude, so Jude 1, 5 and 6 says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." And so the Israelites that were saved, they did not stay saved if they stopped believing. And then it goes a step further in verse 6, and it says, "And the angels did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved in everlasting change until darkness for the judgment of the great day." Mm-hmm. So those angels that were in heaven, perfect angels, perfectly saved, once they fell with Lucifer, they lost their salvation. Ezekiel 18 verse 24 also speaks to that when it says, "But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked does, shall he live?" And so God says that if you turn from righteousness, then you will get the condemnation of the wicked. So there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. We need to be saved every day. We are being saved as we depend on Jesus. There's no salvation apart from Jesus.
It's an interesting one, Pastor, because if it's not once saved, always saved, and so we need to continuously work. But it seems unfair because it then means that once a sinner, always a sinner, because we're born in sin, our nature is sin. So we're not able to be sinless because we are born of sin. Man is born of sin. So once a sinner, always a sinner. It doesn't sound fair, though.
Well, you know, it's not once a sinner, always a sinner, because what Jesus does for us is that he comes and transforms our lives. Now, I mean, you know, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And so God changes us. We become new, but we need to stay with Jesus. And that's the thing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, but with Jesus, we can do everything. Apart from Jesus, we are lost, but with Jesus, we are saved. Apart from Jesus, we are sinners, but with Jesus, we are saints. So our identity changes with Jesus, and that's why he says, if you are with Christ, you are a new creation. We are a new creation, but we become a new creation. We need to be doing that continually, lest we depend upon ourselves. There's no stage in salvation where we can depend upon ourselves. We need to constantly depend on Jesus, and that's why it's a process.
How does salvation impact my life then, in the here and now, in the practical term?
Well, it really changes us. In a very practical sense, Jesus spoke about you will know a tree by its fruit. And so when Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see," what do they see? They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so it changes the way we live. Mm-hmm. We we have actions that speak to being Christ-like, loving, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control, all of that. And so it really impacts our lives today by our behavior, but not only that. It's by our motives and thoughts as well, because Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But what do we do with our minds? We have the thoughts and feelings with our minds. And so when we have the mind of Christ, we have the thoughts and the feelings of Christ. And that changes how we think, how we process things, how we feel about it in a very practical sense. Then it also means that we live free from anxiety. Jesus says, don't worry about anything. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need in Matthew chapter 6. And then in Philippians 4 verse 19, it says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So we don't live with anxiety. We trust in God. We don't live in fear, because perfect love casts out fear, according to John 4 verse 17. But ultimately, what we have now is hope.
Yeah.
Because Titus 2 verse 11 to 13 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So this salvation, what does it do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. This brings hope for today and carries us through the storms of life.
Now, Pastor, before I let you go, you know, I don't know who's listening to the radio, but people listening from different places, parts of the world, parts of the country. It's an online radio, so we do have people literally from across. Now, where I don't know, somebody may be saying that, you know what, I've walked too far. I've lived a dark life. I've lived a scary life. My life is too sinful. There's no point, man. The things I've done, my goodness. I can hear the pastor, but he doesn't know, man. He doesn't know this. I don't know. What do we say to a person like that who could be perhaps listening to the show?
You know, one of the greatest promises in God's word, which Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So when you are drawn to Jesus, he's never going to cast you out. You are never too sinful. And the Bible, you know, has a fascinating story in the Old Testament about King Manasseh. King Manasseh, he killed the prophet Isaiah, sawed him in half. And because he was fed up of listening to God's messages, he killed many innocent people. He even sacrificed his own children in the fire. This was an evil man, and he led Israel into idolatry. But you know, right at the end, when he was thrown into jail, in a Babylonian jail, he said, God, you know, forgive me. And you know, God forgave him.
Yeah.
And restored him to his kingdom. That was a wicked, wicked man. But God can save to the uttermost. Wherever you are, whoever you are, Jesus died for you. There's no exceptions. When you come to Jesus, he will save you. And so I'm speaking to my friends out there who may be despairing. You know, we are all convicted of the wrongs that we have done. We are convicted of the sins that we, and our failures. But there are two types of conviction. The one type of conviction is the conviction of despair that the devil brings about because he wants us to despair and give up hope. But the Holy Spirit always comes with a conviction of hope, convicts us so that we can turn to Jesus and be saved. And what a wonderful thing it is that Jesus will never turn us away.
Yeah, beautiful one. Man, Pastor, I must thank you so much for the time that you've spent with us over the last couple of days. We do appreciate it. Wishing you a fantastic Sabbath ahead.
Thank you, and you and your listeners as well. God bless.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.